to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy? Councilmember Deedy is excused from tonight. Mayor, she sent an email.
Yes.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
So we have one item that we're pulling from the agenda, item number 10. The low bidder for the patching project, TransBlue LLC, withdrew their contract. So we are going to be looking at the next, meeting on the 19th to do the next, whatever that bidder we pick. So anyway, they withdrew the contract, so we pull that from the, and I don't know if you want to make a motion to amend the agenda for that.
I'll make a motion to amend the agenda to delete item number 10.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Do I still need to make a motion to approve the agenda?
I think you just did.
That did it? Okay. Well, I don't know because we deleted. But
approve the agenda.
All right. So we have a proclamation for Sexual Awareness Month. And in Washington State, 45% of women and 22% of men report having experienced sexual violence in their lifetime. And so we all have a copy of the proclamation. So in taking action to prevent sexual violence by standing with survivors and proclaiming the month of April as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda.
I move that we adopt the consent agenda.
Seconded.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So now is the time for public comments. Persons wishing to address council, please come forward to the podium and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Tracy?
Yes. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
We need your name and your city of residence, please.
My name is Tracy Redd, and I live in Woodinville, Washington. And I currently work for the Master Development Review Team at the city, and I'd like to just update you on where we're at. Currently, we're in union negotiations for wage increase, and we just kind of would like to give you guys a little bit of history and just kind of let you know where we are at with this as employees. So I'll just read you what I've written, and some of the other employees I think will be sharing their stories too. So, being in a small city, I've worked with various departments over the years and have had many different duties. I am also the shop steward for the Teamsters 117 admin group. The reason I'm here tonight is to support my fellow employees who are Teamsters. We currently have 22 members. Currently, we are negotiating a contract with the city for wage increases for the next 3 years. As a shop steward, I was taken back by the proposed 3-year wage increase, noting it is well below the Social Security Administration's cost of living adjustment just for 2017 alone. It is discouraging knowing that the last time we had a cost of living was 5 years ago. And during my 11 years at the city, we have taken furloughs and have only had 2 cost of living raises. Along with others, have been loyal to the city through some turbulent times, and that was due to the unstable political environment. There were moments we were afraid of losing our jobs. Even through the stress, we have always been willing to go the extra mile for the city. We enjoy working here. We have great coworkers, and it's like a big family. Unfortunately, recently a lot of money had been spent on lawsuits, which was created by factors that we have no control over. But yet we seem to be the ones always taking the hit for the city. While expenditures continue to increase due to inflation, our wages have not kept pace with those increased costs. Why is it that we are not taken into consideration in the budget process? You have a great group of people here, and we're all asking just to be treated fairly. And it's just time, we're hoping it's time that you guys can help make it right. I know you're all, quite a few of you are new, and even some of our council members that have been here a few years, and the mayor, I don't think you have the full history of our, how we've been paid over even the last 10 years. So I think some of the other people will speak and bring you to, just brief you on where we've gone, where we've been over the last 10 years. But thank you for listening. This is really hard.
Is there anyone else? Stephanie?
I'm really nervous too. I would respectfully request
name and
Stephanie
city.
Metcalf. I live in Maple Valley, Washington, and I'm the board administrator here.
You might want to move the microphone up because your voice is really soft.
May I request some additional time? I just wanted to provide a little bit of history because I know some of the council members are newer.
How much extra time?
Yeah. 3.5 minutes.
In addition to your three?
Yeah, you could probably have four.
Okay.
We're all in agreement, aren't we?
And that's extra.
That's extra. She wants like
3.5 more minutes?
Yeah.
I'll try to.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Why don't you reset the time?
I will reset it.
Okay. Good evening, Mayor and Council members. As I said, my name is Stephanie Metcalf. I've worked at the Black Diamond Court for the last 10 years. I started as a court clerk, and I was quickly promoted to a court administrator. I came to Black Diamond after working in the King County District Court for 12 years, and before that, I worked for the Arizona Superior Court. I made the change because I wanted to be closer to home, and I wanted to make a difference in my community. I'm passionate about what I do. I truly love helping people. I love this community, and I've never worked with a greater group of people. They love this community too, are compassionate, hardworking, and honest. I took a large pay cut to come to work in Black Diamond. As you know, the employees are currently negotiating a new contract with the city and have been unable to reach a reasonable agreement. We've all seen a lot of changes in the last 10 years. I've served 4 mayors and 4 different judges. Just to give a little history, in 2008, you were here, the economy crashed. In 2009, we felt the economic crisis. The city had to take drastic measures to keep afloat financially. 13 mandatory furlough days were imposed on the employees. No cost of living and no step increases. We understood. In 2009, another 10 mandatory furlough days. No cost of living, no step increases. We were told the city didn't have any money. We knew and we understood. 2011, 5 unpaid furloughs. No COLA, no step increases. 2012, 4 furloughs. No COLA, no step. 2013, 2 unpaid furloughs. In my department, we had to eliminate the court clerk position, leaving just me to run the daily operations of the court. My position was also cut to 32 hours a week, which equates to 20% of my pay. At this time, I was a single mother. I have 3 sons, all in college. I didn't know how I was going to make ends meet and on such a drastic cut and help support my kids through college. I did extra odd jobs where I could. The judge I was working for at that time was leaving and going to work as a Superior Court judge. He offered me a job as his judicial assistant in Superior Court. I seriously considered taking the job, but the love of my job here, the citizens I serve, and the people I work with kept me here. I was optimistic that the promise that things are going to get better was true. We saw many employees leave because they had to. They had to have something more stable with more competitive wages. We have families to provide for. But a lot of us you see here today were loyal and weathered the storm. We share a love for our job and the community we serve. We were hopeful that things, that when things got better economically, that the city would make it right. In 2014, more furloughs. To this time, we were given a 1% cost of living increase, but my position was still reduced to part-time. So my quote-unquote 1% increase meant less money. We were all wearing multiple hats. I was doing the equivalent of 3 full-time positions, court clerk, court administrator, and probation officer, but with the compensation for part-time hours and the unwritten expectation to be on call for emergency and custody situations and other issues that had to be dealt with on evenings and weekends. It was very stressful, but I cared. So I pushed myself to meet required legal deadlines and always had outstanding performance evaluations. To recap, I have worked for the city for 10 years, and during that time, I have received a 1% COLA while taking a 20% pay cut and given 36 unpaid furlough days. During that same period of time, despite the economic crisis and the tough times, the police officers received a total of 20% in COLA. In 2015 through 2018, each member of the police department, excluding Debbie and Dean's position, were given a signing bonus of $1,250 each year. The rest of the city employees, nothing. According to a study done by UW, the cost of living in King County in the last 10 years has increased significantly, 62%. To keep up with that, most of the employees in this room have been given a 1% COLA in the last 10 years, 1%. I sincerely appreciate the dedicated group of police officers that I work with. They have a pretty amazing job too. But is it fair to give them a 20% COLA plus yearly signing bonuses during the same time period that the rest of us are told the city is broke and given a 1% COLA, 36 unpaid furloughs and cuts to our hours? To someone that has worked their entire adult life in the court system, who is dedicated to fairness and justice for everyone, who strives to treat everyone equally, it is my opinion that it is not fair and it is not just. Are the services that we provide not vital to the successful operation of the city as well? In December 2015, we were literally on the verge of a city shutdown due to not being able to pass a budget. Every one of our employees waited with bated breath to see if we would have jobs and if we were going to be able to provide for our families. This was extremely stressful. We could have easily gotten jobs elsewhere, but we're dedicated and loyal employees. We have been told for 10 years we don't have any money, and we were always encouraged, hang in there, it's going to get better. Also during this time, the city had found the money to pay for costly attorney's fees for lawsuits to the tune of over $250,000. Why can we find money to pay these costly attorney's fees but not reasonable COLAs for our dedicated employees? We are here today because our morale is at an all-time low. We are disheartened. I'm disappointed in the city that I love so much, and so are many of the other employees that are here tonight. If we were still in an economic crisis, we would not be here asking for cost of living wage adjustments. We've been patient and loyal, and we've weathered the storm. Black Diamond is booming. There are revenue sources available to give us a cost of living increase. The dedicated employees here have kept the city running during the toughest of times. I've lost numerous vacation hours, come to work sick because I had no coverage. The courthouse has to stay open. All of us have sacrificed for years. I would encourage you to give a well-earned, well-deserved, well-needed cost of living increase to all who have previously gone without, and wage adjustments to those positions that are not adequate. Show that not only are your law enforcement and fire department valuable, but so is every other employee in the city. I love my job, and I love serving this community and the people that I work with, but it's getting harder to love when I don't feel appreciated. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Christina?
All right, my name is Christina. I live in Snoqualmie. And good evening, Mayor and council members. I'm currently employed with Black Diamond as the court clerk. Before coming to Black Diamond, I worked for King County District Court for almost 20 years, most recently in a salary position as a member of management and training coordinator. I left King County last year in search of a position that provided a better work-life balance. I initially accepted a position with Kirkland Municipal Court and quickly found the evening commute on 405 would be less than desirable. So in September last year, about 7 months ago, I decided to make the switch and join the team here at Black Diamond. I have a feeling maybe that you're going to get sick of hearing this, maybe you already are, but I really love the people that work here at Black Diamond. From day one, everyone I met gave me such a warm welcome. You really have some amazing people working here. These employees, they're friendly, they're helpful, they're caring, which is probably why they haven't asked for much over the years. It's pretty obvious that it's who they are to help out when times are tough. Oh, forget to breathe. Okay. we had a family tragedy last year, and the amount of love and concern from these employees, everybody, many of them in the room tonight, was abundant. From the kind words and the cards I received, the offers of don't need to leave, though not allowed. the extremely generous monetary gift from the police guild, and even my supervisor taking her own time to wrap and deliver my family's Christmas presents to my home. It was just so above and beyond. You have people with really good hearts here. This is why I'm here tonight, to support these employees who would give their last dollar to someone in need. It sounds like they've been doing that for the city for quite some time, always giving and continuing to receive what appears to be compensation from 2008, putting the city's needs and troubles ahead of their own and the needs of their families. And personally, I knew I was taking a large pay cut, and the benefits are less than that offered by both King County and Kirkland, but I was really shocked to hear that COLA was not part of the contract already, and that they've only received 1% COLA in the last 10 years. And now that the city is more financially stable, it sounds like it's going to be another Snoqualmie Ridge, maybe larger, they're still being asked to sacrifice and do without. And the 1% COLA during the furlough year has really got me confused. It's like kind of like saying, here's a quarter, but I need $2 back. So, fortunately, I'm a double income earning family with a husband that makes a decent wage. However, just as I found out last year, things can change in the blink of an eye. If I was suddenly on my own with my 3 kids, no way, there's no way I could afford to stay here. I would have to choose a courthouse that pays 2018 wages and full benefits for my entire family. And I really just encourage the city of Black Diamond to approve a reasonable call up. That's my move tonight. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing? Scott?
Scott Hannes, Covington. I work in the Public Works Department as the Capital Project / Program Manager. And I said the / on purpose, just because a lot of us in the city, we have to wear many different hats. I'm just fortunate enough to have it in my official title, but you know, we all have to do it, and you all know that very well. Some of the words you've heard tonight: family, team, teamwork. You know, that's what we thrive on here. In public works, so I've been here almost 8 years now. And one of my favorite things to do in my position, I love getting grants. In my 8 years here, we as public works, we've received over $4 million in grants. But just getting grants, that's a small fraction of what we do. You know, we're in charge of making sure we have good water, making sure we're getting the sewage out of the city. Streets, parks, cemetery, facilities, stormwater, ever-increasing regulations from the Department of Ecology. We have to handle all of that. We stay in their good graces. We make sure everything gets done, even though there's just a few of us. With us, I think the city gets an amazing bang for its buck. We go above and beyond. We do everything that's required of us, and you know, we work together well. We're a strong team, and we appreciate you all for joining us on our team. I think we all work really well together. It's been fantastic this year. But one thing about negotiations is people tend to negotiate. So some of you might know I lived in Ecuador for a couple of years. And when I was down there, to get around, you either just walked, you got on a bus, or you held a taxi. And if you took the taxi, they didn't have the meters. You just, lean your head in the window and say, here's where I'm going. And the taxi driver would say, okay, it's going to cost this much. And usually when you lean your head in, you had the amount you were willing to pay and the amount you wanted to pay. And so then the negotiation would start. The taxi driver would say, okay, it's going to cost this much. Sometimes that taxi driver would say, it'll be this much, and that's the amount that you absolutely wanted to pay. Fantastic deal. But then human nature takes over, and you want to go even further. You want to trade for that better deal. So then you start negotiating, you go back and forth, and you start to kind of get bitter and stuff, and then you end up at the original offer. And then, for the rest of the ride, you both feel kind of bitter. You don't talk to each other. You don't have that good conversation. I think what we want to avoid here is, any bitterness or anything. I don't see that with any of you, but there are lessons to be learned. We can all work in good faith together. Here the money is there. We've more than earned it. You're going to continue to get an amazing bang for your buck. We hope that you can see what we do, what we'll continue to do to make this city function, to make this a great city. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Is there anybody else? Kevin?
Good evening, Mayor, Council, Kevin Espring, Black Diamond, your facilities coordinator, and you're trying to be emergency management director on top of that. As Scott says, we all wear 10 hats. I have a lot of comments to make tonight, and I don't need to really make any of them now. Stephanie, Tracy, everybody's covered it quite well as far as, I think, the passion. You can see everybody's really passionate about our job and what we do here. I think they did want us, each of us, to kind of touch a little bit on how all this has affected us, and it's affected me a lot. I mean, I've been here for, I hate to say, 40-some years now. Overall, I started just as a kid, so this place has been my life. I got married here in this room, so it's pretty passionate to me, too. So really, I think all we're asking is the council kind of be up to speed and really understand that we're here for the city, we're here for you, we're here for each other, and you can hear from the compassion of everybody tonight. And I also wanted to say it has not gone unnoticed that you have been very appreciative of staff. I've noticed it almost. I've been coming to every meeting now for a year, and I don't think there's a meeting where I don't hear one of you council members say we appreciate the staff. And so I know you appreciate us, but you got to know that we're struggling. It's been tough. The furlough days, I think back in terms of going home and telling my wife, and then she says, you keep telling me that we're right around the corner, things are going to get better, and then, bam. I mean, to the point, at one point in my career where, was it Leonard? I was a city administrator that we hired. He brought me in, so we don't need you anymore. I says, oh, okay, so my 35-some years means nothing to you. Well, that's just the way it is. We're going to move on without you. And thank God Mayor Botts at the time had my back. That was a Thursday night, and by Monday morning, he was fired, and so was the city attorney. And I was like, yeah, that was pretty powerful. So I've been through a lot. The furlough days, I think I got rid of my boat on that one, and then the next thing I got rid of was my wife's car. We had to get down to one truck and just kind of share that through that time. But I think the worst of it for me personally was when I got cut back to 4 days a week. And I do appreciate, thank you, city, for at least covering my medical during that time. I had my full medical. But that $1,000 a month plus cut there, I mean, that almost cost me my house. That was some tough times. So, as has been said, I think, we've all hung in there, and we keep saying it's going to get better. And I think we're there to where it is going to be better, and you've got a great staff. And I have to laugh. I get in trouble. Seth gets mad at me because occasionally he'll see on my emails and I'm in at 4 in the morning. You can't do that. I'm not a salary anymore. You can't do that. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I still sneak in on the weekends. I think I spent 4 hours working on the gym Sunday. Sorry, Seth, I didn't mean it. Not personally. But just things like that. We go the extra mile. I'll come in on the weekend. I go, I thought I was the only one that came in on the weekend. And there's Brenda's car parked at the office. I'm like, okay. Or I don't know how many weekends I've come in, especially during budget, and May's car's there every weekend. Mm-hmm. And so everybody does go the extra mile. So all we're asking is that pay attention to our negotiations and just kind of look at the real numbers And we're just asking for some help because we really need it. So thank you. Appreciate your time.
Seth?
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. I can stand up. I want to let
name,
you all know that
name,
we
have, name and residence.
Seth Botcher, Public Works Director. I live in a place called Alder, Washington. Close to Edenville. I wanted to let you all know that we appreciate you all. And the last few years, you know, going from being treated as untrustworthy and then to that you do trust us, you support us, and so thank you for that. Also on the two issues, I see the salaries and staffing levels, is kind of, they're competing, but it's kind of the same issue. You kind of have addressed staffing level for us in three respects. I mean, one is that the Public Works Director position was not funded. It was funded by the master plan developer for many years. And every time we get a little bit close to start funding a little bit of it, it would sink back. But finally, I think it was in 2017 where it's funded by my position. After 10 years, it's funded by the city. Another one is that you recognized the upgrade for Scott's position. We were able to upgrade his position to a higher level position because I needed to move him into higher level duties, and it paid off quite well. Also in 2017, we added the new utility position, and we sorely needed that. Our on-call staff, it's a heavy burden to be here on the weekend, not every other weekend, but every third weekend. So having more coverage will help significantly. Speeding up. I want to point out that revenue in the past 7 years has in the public works has increased 80%. That's significant. But I don't think salaries have gone, and I'm not even asking for 80%. I'm just
I'm just
80%, what that means is work level has gone up. The work level in those departments has gone up significantly because of regulations, a whole host of things we won't get into right now. But public works, the only way you can get raises and address higher costs is through rates other than streets. But it's primarily through rates. You have an opportunity to do that with utility rates, so you're going to have to address rates coming up. One big piece of rates is utility taxes. And that is a machine to support the general fund. So think about, you know, we have always had, typically in union negotiations, you'll look at comparable cities. But another thing to look at is comparisons internally, department to department. Is there equity there? So things to think about and look at. Thanks.
Is anybody else wishing? Dan?
Mayor, Council, my name is Dan Delson, City of Black Diamond. I live in the City of Black Diamond. Worked for the city for over 22 years, and this is the first time I had to come up and speak like this, which is very uncomfortable. Just to let you know a little bit about myself, I'm a hometown boy, grew up here, work here, and love it. That's basically why I stayed. My folks are still living here. My dad was born here. He's 92. And my mom's still 92 and living, so I'm lucky. Just to let you know a little bit, since there's new three council members, what the Public Works Department has done in the last couple of years. On ourselves, we only have three employees. And some of the projects we've taken on, which we could have hired out and was budgeted to hire out, we had a grant from Jennifer Dunn for $250,000 for a pipeline that was told that we never had the staff to implement this grant. So I took it on myself, pushed it through at night and on weekends, and we got that grant, installed the water line in the oldest part of town in the City Forest, and brought it down and completed it. City staff also decommissioned the sewer lagoon. We had a sewer lagoon that many of you probably don't even know, Palmer Pope and Cole. We have to return it back. It was decommissioned, which the Department of Ecology didn't know until we notified them, in 91, and it's still sitting there. We have to return it. But we figured out a way to pump it all out, send it to Metro, and basically the city staff decommissioned it with minute budget compared to what it was budgeted in. They have to dump it and hire it out. The half-million-gallon reservoir, we didn't know the condition of that. We didn't know how to drain it. City staff, we were going to hire that out. Sat down with some engineers and staff. We figured a way to pump and isolate the half-million. We did it ourselves, installed the piping at the 4.3, continuously ran the motors for 4 days, drained the reservoir, cleaned it, inspected it, filled it back up, which saved the city hundreds of thousands of dollars combined with all this other stuff. Morganville Pump Station, Sewer Station, we're going to hire that out and rebuild it. City staff took it on themselves and saved a bunch of money. Old Lawson Sewer Station, we're going to hire that out and convert it from an effluent pump to a grinder pump. We did that ourselves. The museum wall, this is coming up, but we took that out, rebuilt it last year, and built the boardwalk foundation so they could put the sidewalk in. So that's just some of the minute projects we've done in just the last couple of years at the city. A lot of money. And we're down to three people, and we do everything else in the city. So it's a strain, but that's just, I'm a whole town boy. I'm like, you're going to pay $200,000 for this? We can do that for 20 ourselves. You know, so we do it. That's just how we are here. We jump in and do it. So some of the personal stuff I did was we applied for a CDBG grant for the sidewalk phase one from the school down to Abrams. CDBG told us that we never got a high enough response, so it was turned down. So on the weekend and at night, I went door to door, knocked at people's door to ask them to turn their income in to the county so it would qualify for us to get the grant, and I got enough participation that we proceeded with the sidewalk. Phase two, they told us that was from Abrams down to Roberts. They told us that the income was too high. So I went on the weekend again to Mrs. Stout's house and talked to her husband and tried to ask people what their income was, undisclosed, which is very uncomfortable. But we did it. We got the grant and they did it. So those are some of the personal accomplishments. And that's the kind of staff you have working here. They didn't get paid, but it was just, I knew I could do it. So I did it. The recession's been talked about and how we've been promised wages for 15 years. And we won't even talk about the last council because you guys lived through it too. So it was just a horrible experience, but we stuck through it. We have, on the pace that we're going, this year we will permit more permits than we equaled in 10 years total in the last 10 years. So far on this pace, and it's going to increase. We have two commercial projects already, but we haven't even had a commercial building in 10 years, which is Diamond Square. We have a storage unit that's permitted, and electrical. So it's not just the development. We have Lawson Hill Estate sold all their 60 lots. We've sold property on the hill. Doug Powell put his up, sold before he even went on the market. So it's not just the master plan development, it's a lot of stuff. What I'd like to touch bases on, since you're a new person, and I've been here for 22 years, and used to sit in this room, and this was the public works thing, and we would go to council. I won't say it's unfair. You have to do what you have to do in hard times. So what they started to do, the city was tax our utility enterprise funds. So they taxed the water and sewer and street fund to create money to put in the general fund, and it all goes to public safety, police, and fire. So they're taxing our funds to go into the general fund to pay the police, basically. And then in 2013, they even increased that revenue to tax us more to go into the general fund to pay public safety. So then what happens? They raise the rates of the citizens, water and sewer rates, because now we can't keep up with the enterprise fund. So the reason, which I think is unfair, I'm a whole town boy, that it's not equal. The old town of Black Diamond, I'll call it the old town, pays the water, sewer, and store rates. If you live here, you know how high they get. Or Lake Sawyer pays only stormwater rates. So they're putting all this added expense on old town to support the police that does all the town. So I don't think that's fair and equal. I think now, since the economy's maybe increased and revenue's coming in, that maybe you look at decreasing that and getting the enterprise fund back up to where it should be. It's kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul. Here, we'll take this fund out of the enterprise fund to pay the cost, but now public works, you have no money to pay in the rates. I don't think that's equal. It's really a kick in the gut. That's just to let you guys know when you go through budget next year and you start looking. Or I'm not picking on the police. You know, you have to do what you have to do. But there's a fairness, and I don't think it's fair right now at all. You're paying them cost of living every year, and we have nothing. And you're picking it out of the enterprise funds, so a lot of it. Not all, but I mean a big portion of it. So it brings it back to public works. I think we're the first responders. If you really want to get to public safety. When it snows, we're out there before we get called. When there's a power outage, we're out on the streets cutting the trees down. Or when's the last time the city ran out of water? We're out there before anybody else is. When there's a sewer backup, we're the ones called to get out there before it affects anybody. So we're actually the first responders for almost everything. So if you want to know public safety, we're in. And I want to say, I'll back up, but we were down to one or two people right now. And Kevin and Scott pitched in to be on call. We're on call 24-7, not just on the weekend. It's 24-7. When I go home, that baby stays with me and I sleep with it next to my bed. Or Kevin, or now Scott does. So it's not just on the weekend. We're on call 24-7, unless you guys want to cut that back with well or that. So that's just how we're coming from and where we're coming from. The other thing that...
Oh, yeah.
I have my glasses, it looks like 8 minutes to me.
It's
so one more minute, I'll be done. We hear that you guys have taken other cities and using their rates and comparing ours, okay? Turn the page to that same study, and you will see, because we've done it, that those cities, we're a full-service city, we have water, sewer, storm, cemetery, parks, and everything. A minimum of 6 to 7 employees we should have in my department. We have 3, okay? So you take that rate study and say, oh, you should be here, but you should have double the employees. Add that to your cost and see what happens. So it's not fair to pick these rates and not look at the other side of this rate study of how many employees we should have or do. I haven't had a break. I don't take breaks. I just don't. I don't know when the last time I took a break. I don't have time. So that's just what it is. And just like, and this is like everybody, we lost our CC cross connection control specialist left. Jeff said, I said, who's going to do it? He goes, you are. That's your job. I'm like, no, it isn't. It's not my job. But I'm going to do it. No extra pay. take a lot more responsibility and then devote it to test me. Because that's what all of us do. Every employee steps up and have stepped up for, I don't know why, but we do. And that's what we have here. I mean, that, and that's what you're going to lose. I don't think you're going to be able to replace us once we're gone. So that's my one of the two.
Thank you.
Debbie?
For those of you who don't know me, I've been with the police department for 20 years now. This is really hard. I've always loved my job and all my coworkers. They're my work family, and that's why I'm still here. But I never thought I'd be up here. And you guys have heard all this before from all my people out there, but I have, along with the others, watched the city struggle through all these years. Always hearing there was no money, and we all sat back, understood, and kept on giving all we could, even though there were no COLAs, raises, and furlough days were asked of us. At times, we even wondered if we had a job. The only reason we joined the union was to protect our jobs with the old administration, not to fight the city. And we didn't ask for more money when we signed our contract. We knew their money was tight. And now we have a new administration, and now, after all the storms we've gone through, the waters have calmed. I'm sorry, I'm really passionate. The waters have calmed, the economy is better, the development has moved forward, and there's a ray of light on the horizon, but still we hear no. We all just don't understand why you wouldn't want to take care of your people who are loyal and always supported the city through all the turmoil we've been through. I have never in all the years I have been here seen all the employees so disheartened and like me, feel so unappreciated and hurt. That the city still says there's no money for the cost of living raise after we have gone without 10 years. We just don't understand. I mean, did the city even consider a cost of living for its employees in the first drafts of the budget? Were we just not even like, you know, let's just work with this? I don't know how it works, so I might be out of line. Was it not even considered, like, can we work a cost of living in here with these guys? We're just asking the council for your support. I never thought I'd have to get up here and do this. And and I know I'm taking it really personal because I love this city. I love it. And I love my people. And I don't want to go anywhere else. But this is really kind of like hurtful because we know the city's got more money. We know it's coming in. We know it's going to just keep going up and up and up. And sorry, I ain't got no money. It's just like, we're all deflated right now. We're all deflated.
Jana?
Good evening, Mayor and council members. Jana Thompson from Black Diamond. It's really interesting to hear what the staff have to say this evening. I think that it's really important to pause and consider that we're so lucky that the staff stayed intact over the last 2 years. Where would we be if they had all left and you were looking right now at hiring new staff? It would be horrible. I mean, besides already needing things to calm down in the city and being behind on things, if we were faced with replacing all of these really valuable staff members, especially people that have been here for so long and have so much history and know the ins and outs of all of the systems, the city would be in a bad situation. And you probably would have to offer higher salaries and pay headhunters and have a huge expense to replace the staff. Over the last couple of years when things were so challenging here, I often thought if one key staff member left, it would be like a domino effect. If Andy had walked away and said, I'm done, I think there would have been a mass exodus. And where would that have left the residents, the council, everything? It would have just been a shambles. So it sounds to me like what the staff are asking at this point is a reasonable request. I know it's hard to rework the budget and the money, but it's a reasonable request. I was certainly involved with the city when they did the furloughing. That was really, really a difficult time. And again, the core staff didn't leave at that time. They stayed here. We've been really lucky to have passionate employees. So it certainly seems like this is the time. This is the moment to support them and to reimburse them and to show them that you hear them. So the second thing I want to say is I really hope we get to having at least a quarterly update from the developer at these council meetings. It would be really nice for the public and for everyone just to have a public understanding of where the development's at, what's happening next. Let's start bringing them into the conversation. It's just been, I don't even know when the last time was that I heard them come up and have anything to say that that was really about the future of our city. So I'd love to know, what's the timeline right now? When are these houses going to be for sale? When and how does that impact the budget in the city? So I'd love to hear about that. So I'm hoping that that's on your radar. Thank you.
Dina?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Dina Humphreys, live in Black Diamond, just outside of city limits. I was hired by the city almost 5 years ago as a part-time 25-hour per week police clerk. I live just outside city limits, but Black Diamond is my home regardless of my street address. I love the work I do as well as the people I work with. The commute is a plus too. To be honest though, standing here before you this evening to fight for a cost of living raise and a wage adjustment that is more than reasonable and well overdue makes me feel very unappreciated. I have to believe and give the benefit of the doubt to those who hold the authority to make this decision. Perhaps the decision makers don't realize how much the city of Black Diamond employees have sacrificed over the years, putting the needs of the city ahead of their own personal needs and the needs of our families. I believe my wage is a direct result of the city not providing annual cost of living raises over the last 8 years. Even at the top of my pay scale, I still make $10 less than the police clerk who works just down the road in Enumclaw. The workload in our department has increased dramatically, especially over the last few months due to traffic school and caseload. More people requesting traffic school now that we have a full-time traffic officer. We have actually had more people attend traffic school in the last 3 months last year of 2017. The city of Black Diamond has taken in over $56,000 in the last 3 months. That's the first quarter. You times that by four, we're looking at $224,000. And that wasn't even at full throttle. That was one class in January, one class in March, one class in January, one class in February, and two classes in March. We are now scheduled out to June for traffic school. So we don't even know what the numbers will be. I'm going off of what the first quarter was of $56,000. But there's been no compensation for the added workload for Debbie and myself. At the end of 2017, I was asked if I would want more hours, and at this time, I made it very clear to my supervisors that I'm severely underpaid for the work that I do. I made that clear. I made it clear that I would be very interested once my wage was corrected. To my dismay, after the first council meeting of the year, I was approached and told that I was approved to work an extra 5 hours per week. Not only did I believe I made it clear that I did not want to work extra hours without my wage being corrected, but I was not given any time to consider my answer. Then I found out after the fact that 29 hours is just 1 hour shy of being eligible for benefits. Honestly, it seems just like the city that I have been dedicated to is not willing to properly pay their employees a fair market wage. The truth is, even with these extremely frustrating events and the added workload, I am a team player and optimistic that my wage will be corrected with this new contract now that the city is on its way to better financial health. I'm telling you only to make you aware. We, the employees of Black Diamond, have continued to compromise and give over the years. I truly believe that we did this because we love the people that we work with and the community itself. When the time comes and the city is more financially stable, then in turn they will provide a competitive wage. The time has come. We shouldn't even have to be here tonight. It should be a given, and the city should want to provide a reasonable cost of living wage, which has been well deserved and pushed to the side for many years. For me, I guess the one question I have for you is, are you ready to take care of your employees? We ask that you support us. And I thank all my coworkers for coming tonight and speaking on our behalf. Thank you.
The gentleman in the yellow jacket.
I don't know his name.
Thanks, Mayor Benson and council members. I'm Dustin Lambro. I'm the political director at Teamsters Local 117. I live in Seattle. I was going to make a Golden Girls reference. Picture it. But it wasn't Sicily. It was Seattle, and it was November 7th. And I was with a ton of friends of mine who work in the labor community, and we were all at a bar in Seattle, and we were supporting our good friend, Teresa Mosqueda, who got elected to the Seattle City Council. The point of that is we were all on our phones, John, you probably were too, on the election app, and we were looking at election results, and a friend of mine was like, oh, what? How's Teresa doing? I'm like, I'm actually looking at the results of Black Diamond for the two council races and the mayor's race. And it was an encouraging night for me. And I felt really good about it. And like probably many of us in this room, I was breathing a huge sigh of relief that the political instability over the last couple years was at an end. And that's why I was so surprised a few weeks ago when I heard from members that the city was offering a 0.5% cost of living adjustment, and I thought it was insulting. I think it is insulting. You hear from people here, from members of ours who've worked at the city for years and have gone through this turmoil, I've come out, and they're still in good spirits, but I know there's a morale issue. And the fact that people got 1% 4 or 5 years ago and lived through it and are still here working for the city that I know they love should be enough to respect the fact that that they deserve a meaningful cost of living adjustment. So half a percent is not good enough. And the city has more revenue coming in, and we can reach deeper because they deserve it. Thank you.
Yes.
Hello, my name is Frederick Schulter. I live in the city of Black Diamond. I am a shop steward for the city of Kent Public Works Department, and I'm very surprised by just the mere fact that you called everybody by their name. I'm a number at the city of Kent. I'm not known by anybody.
We don't have numbers.
Well, okay, I understand that. I'm just saying you address the employees by their first name. It's a personal level. Like, this is a family. Mm-hmm. Like, as employees have said, then this is them. The city of Black Diamond is them. And it's kind of shocking hearing all the stuff that they do on top of their normal jobs. when it comes to my job, I do one thing. I work on the street department. I don't do sewer. I don't do parks. I don't do anything like that. I lay asphalt, pour concrete. That's my job. I don't have any top responsibilities where it comes down to, well, if the water runs out, where's all the sewage going to go? I don't think about that at all. And I worry about if it's flat and then there's no lumps in it. That's it. And if there's no trip hazards, even better. So with hearing that, how can you not reward them with at least what they're asking? That's the problem. When it comes to me and my job, yeah, there's 11 of us. We do one thing, that's it. These people do a lot more. They should be rewarded for it. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council?
I've forgotten your name.
Sorry. She's going to tell us. Julie Use, Teamsters Local 117, Tacoma, Washington. Despite what you might go into executive council and decide that Julie sat here and orchestrated all of this, the only one I orchestrated is Eric, because he stood up in front of council in Kent and had similar experience, and I wanted him to see what it meant when these folks came to me. And they called me crying because they didn't know how they could continue to work here, because they didn't know how they could continue with this city that they love, and they didn't know how to get their stories across. They are also, we have had many nights where they've sat there and they've gone, we can't do this, we have to do this, we can't do this, we have to. They wanted you to hear their passion. They wanted you to hear how much this city means to them. You have half of your staff here tonight talking about what a cost of living would mean to them and how they're not asking for the 66% that they're behind Seattle over this giant period of time. They're asking for something reasonable so they can continue to dedicate their lives and serve this city. And it's time for them to get it.
May?
You guys keep on crying now. They're going to make us cry up here.
I'm May Miller, finance director. I live in Auburn, Washington. And I'm lucky enough to have been here 10 years and gone through all that they have gone through. And I was hired, though, right at the time that they just put the master plan development agreement together. And growth was right around the corner. And every single year we'd go to different meetings, and it was always right around the corner. It was just right around the corner. And I'm not here today just speaking for the union, because my priority is to the mayor. I'm the finance director. And I'm the finance director first. My second priority is I happen to join the union, not for raises or anything, but to protect my job, as we went through really difficult times. But I did want to come up and tell you that, you know, we did go through those hard times, and it was very, very difficult for everybody, but it was always right around the corner. And the one thing I wanted to mention, that the people in the union, there's 22, that's every single public works employee. There's 6 of them. That's every single community development employee, including the vacant community development director. That's every single police clerk. That's every single court employee. That's every single finance employee. That's every single MDIRT employee. And that's all the employees in the city clerk except for Brenda. So that's, you know, a whole bunch of people that do great work for the city. And I just wanted to say that I was over at community development yesterday. I went over to ask a question about the census, and I sat outside because there was almost no room to get in there. There was people lined up. They were getting permits. They were asking questions. And I had a lot of statistics I wanted to check. And it just occurred to me, we have turned the corner.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Bob?
Bob Bain, Issaquah.
Want to lift the microphone?
Up a little bit. There we go. I'm very nervous too at this.
Thank you.
over 3 years ago, I sat here in front of a panel, and I applied for the position. Took over a year to get it. I was one of 10 that got selected to come and be a contestant for their job. So when, at the very end of answering all these questions, they asked me, do you have any questions? And I said, no, but do you have any more for me? And they said, yeah, I want you to sing your best karaoke song. That's the truth. And I thought a camera crew was going to jump out from behind the door. And I found out I got the job. I've been here now doing all the inspections. I work for MDIRT. And we were getting so busy that we had to hire somebody. Jason applied. Andy Williamson and myself both chose him. Great candidate, great person, fits in awesome with us. Everyone else that I've met so far that has been with the city for so long has just been amazing, especially to me, to help me get through the transition of being a construction worker to now into an inspector position. I don't want to tell you what I did today. All day, every day, I put in all the sewer, all the storm, all the water, and all the electrical, the road base, the concrete, sidewalks, for everything you've seen from the roundabout. And it's so much work. We got Jason, and today I did all the TESC, which is erosion control, and storm on the development for the houses only. That's half the day. You can see the size of what's been there and all the sewer stubs up. That's all me. And now today I spent just the homes that are there in that one little small section. It's growing very, very, very fast. So I just want to say thank you, let you know that.
What song did you pick? What song did you pick?
That stupid old pickup truck you never let me drive. Remember that?
Does anybody else wish to address council? I don't. Oh, Kristen.
I was going to say, I think all employees have spoken now.
Kristen Bryant, Bellevue, Washington. Good evening, Mayor and Council. I grew up in Black Diamond, and so I have been looking ahead at the city's comprehensive plan. My comment is a couple of things, but I was in a discussion with someone about the comprehensive plan, and I said, oh, it's pretty easy to find what they've worked on so far. You should be able to just go to the Planning Commission minutes, and they have brought up different draft chapters and different Planning Commission meetings, afterwards, I went to the website later and looked myself and found that there's a bad link to the Planning Commission information, and it's actually really difficult to find that information online. The comprehensive plan is sure to be and it has been a big, important topic, and it should be more accessible to people, I think. The other comment is on the meeting minutes from March 9th of this year that are on your agenda for tonight. In fact, maybe they've already been approved in the consent agenda. I didn't got a copy of them here. I did attend the March 9th council retreat special meeting, and there were very detailed PowerPoint presentations given. Those are not online. The minutes themselves here seem insufficient for a six-hour meeting. There's not very much information. For example, on the back, there's an other issues section, and one of the items there is update on Springs. I was there. I know what that means, but that's not a sufficient description for the public looking at these minutes. Finally, we've heard a lot about money tonight, so I wanted to mention the master developer Oak Point that has been promised is going to bring the city so much, and I have never thought that they were going to bring the city much good. I think that they're causing a lot of problems from traffic to environment, but they cost the city hundreds of thousands of dollars last year by bringing a lawsuit against Black Diamond. The suit was a waste, and it was politically motivated. The mayor should not have spent over $200,000 on her own defense when she could have adopted a much more sensible strategy. She could have properly noticed council and committee meetings and avoided a huge expense. Your attorney makes almost $300 an hour. You had a chance to get much more experienced municipal attorneys for less money. You might want to look into that. Finally, I'm going to go over 1 second. The final comment may be useful. I heard a discussion that there's some consideration of replacing the city's website this year, and I started out by talking about that. I was thinking of the website because I was having trouble finding the comp plan, as I mentioned. It seems that if you put a link to meetings and information on the homepage, that could save people a lot of complaints about the website, possibly save money on doing a full-scale replacement because it is a little hard to find the meeting agenda materials. And that is it. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close the public comment period. We have no public hearings. The next item is new business item is number 9, is a resolution amending the city's fee schedule. Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Council and Mayor. Tonight, we just have a few miscellaneous fees that need updated. These are primarily fees that have annual increases or that have changed that don't really meet. So I handed out a copy of the fee schedule and highlighted the fees. There was two police fees that changed because they're changing how they do their contracting, and it needed to refer to the contract work. Each one will be individual for how much they charge. That was on page 2. On page 3, we got a notice that our passport fees, the part the city gets to keep, has increased from $25 for each application to $35. So that's a pretty significant increase. It took effect April 2nd, so we wanted to get that in right away so that when we issue the passports, the amount the city gets to keep hasn't been increased for a long time, so that's very positive for the city. On page 4, there was just a $10 delinquent notice fee that hadn't been included before. On page 6, I talked to Dan about the cemetery costs and just the cost to go out there and open the niches and close them, and then when they do the name change, open them again, notify people, close them again. We needed to increase that one slightly, so we increased that fee. And the return check fee, we just changed the language so that it was clear that it was for any time there was an NSF, even if it's a credit card fee that's NSF. On page 7, I talked to community development. There's certain advertisements they charge that wasn't included in the old fee schedule where they're required as part of the condition to pay for the advertising. We just need to list that fee in there so they could pass that along to the developers who pay. And then the last change was we have a contract with the Fire District 44, Mountain View. And they actually charge us to do the plan check and the inspection fees. The old contract stated that there's inflation increase every year. So with 5 years of inflationary increase, that fee was ridiculously low. And we needed to get it in line with the contract. So this will get us in line with what the contract says with several years of inflationary increases, CPI increases. And that is the end of the fee increases. We will be looking over all the major fees, like in the different permitting areas and other areas, and have a more extensive review. But we needed to get these simple ones in right now so that we could collect more money for the city. Thank you.
She's done.
Well, I can make a motion.
Yeah.
Okay. I move to adopt Resolution 18-1240, amending the city fee schedule adopted by Resolution 17-1177 to update miscellaneous city fees.
I second that motion.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 10 has been removed from the agenda. Number 11 is a resolution amending the council rules of procedure. Councilmember Edelman.
Well, I'm just going to do just kind of a quick overview. We've had work studies on this. These are really the council's rules. There was some housekeeping updates that we've had because the original version of these rules was in 2015. Then we had the other rules from 2016. So now what we have done through our meetings is to sit down and go through, update, delete some things like we don't need to regurgitate 35A-12-100, which is the mayor's responsibilities. All we do is refer, here's her job, and we have the RCWs cited. But some other things that we've done, just to keep it consistent with the way the world is today, the meeting locations are here at the City Council chambers. We do still need an ordinance to change the city code 2.04010. So I hope we can get that at the next meeting.
Okay.
We added in Section 3.4 some language about agenda review and approval. So as you noticed tonight, we had a motion to approve the agenda. It's the right thing to do. Section 9.2 is about resolutions that we generate. All resolutions now by city council rules need to have city attorney review. That's been in and out, so now it's back in. In Section 18, we deleted any reference to committee chairs. As most of you probably know, we do have committee meetings where two members of the City Council sit with the mayor and staff, whether it's Public Works, Finance and Administration, Parks and Cemetery, Community Development. There's only half a dozen of us at the most that go to these meetings. We don't need a chair. None of us on the dais that I know of are really impressed with having an additional title to our name. So we just go in and we sit down and we have a meeting and we have a discussion amongst everybody. We also added a new Section 22, which is a severability clause, which means that if there is any section of the council rules that would be deemed invalid or illegal, only that section would be severed. The rest of the rules would be still valid and we would still operate under those. Another really important thing that we did was we added some words that, and this is to protect a minority if we ever have this majority-minority business again, which I hope we don't. The only way to change the council rules is by a two-thirds majority. So like 2 years ago when that council came in with a majority and they pushed through illegal and invalid council rules by a majority of 3-2, that won't ever happen again. You're going to have a supermajority. And that's what I tried to do as I was going through and updating these rules. The council has agreed in the work studies that this is where we want to go. So unless anybody has any further comment, I move that did you want to say something?
If you don't mind.
No, go right ahead.
There were just a couple of little things that I wanted to make sure everyone was clear. Actually, there was one, I think, just a typographical mistake that I wanted to point out so that it could be cleared up before it's adopted, referring not to the red line version but to the clean version so it's easier to track. New rule 2.3 regarding the minutes.
Yes.
Though actually the word minutes is missing from from the language. I think it just got cut out in the chopping and pasting from time to time. So it says the city clerk shall prepare action for all council meetings. So there should be action minutes. So
Thanks. Let's
make that point change. There's one might call it an inconsistency. I'm just going to point it out. Perhaps it's completely intentional in the way the council wants to operate, but I've just pointed out so that you can decide, make an intelligent choice if that is in fact what you want to do. Between new rule 9.2 regarding adoption of resolutions
And I'm comparing that to new rule 14.2 regarding votes to fill vacant council positions. So rule 9.2 says that all resolutions must pass by a majority of the whole membership of the council, whereas 14.2 says a majority vote of a quorum of the council. So if that, you know, in a council filling vote, if there were only three members present, two out of the three could appoint the missing or the vacant council position, whereas under 9.2, any other resolution requires a majority of the entire council. So I don't know if that's something you want to keep in as a, or if that's something you want to make harmonize, but that's, I thought, worth pointing out.
No, because we did talk about that, is my memory, and that what we really want it to read is that it would be a quorum of the council members present to make it consistent in
okay.
both.
For 9.2 to change to, so it'd say at least a majority of the
council members present.
Council members present, okay.
Okay.
And then the last thing that I think has perhaps gone unresolved, unless it was discussed at a work study that I wasn't at, on meeting disruptions in Rule 2.12. Mm-hmm. The language currently is written kind of in the passive voice, saying that such person or persons causing the interruption may be ordered removed, but it leaves out who gets to do the ordering. So does it require a council vote to kick somebody out of the meeting for a disruption, or can the presiding officer do that?
We talked about that in that meeting, did we? What did we decide?
I think that we talked about council vote.
I think so. I think at that point we should have a vote if we need to, because it really, again, this is the council's meeting. And so if there is someone who's disruptive, the council should vote.
Actually, you know what? I think we talked about the mayor or the council,
yeah.
or a vote of the council. It was the mayor or the vote of the council.
And what if they disagree?
Right.
Well, then the council would have to overrule, I would guess.
We would vote. We would take an active vote and then see what the council would say. And if the council chose to override the mayor, then so be it.
Okay, so you want to write that into the...
So can we write that in?
So
what are we calling that, a majority?
Such person or persons causing the interruption may be ordered removed from the meeting by the mayor unless overruled by a vote of the majority of the council?
Yeah. That's...
You got that, Brenda?
I'm okay with that.
I just...
Okay.
we'll let her get caught up.
Maybe removed by the mayor or a majority vote of the council.
The way I was phrasing it was maybe removed by the mayor unless overruled by the majority of council. But perhaps you want to leave it, you want to make a council vote first. It's up to you guys how you want to handle that.
I don't know, personally. Right. And I think that's honestly probably the way it ought to be. The mayor, as the presiding officer, has the authority to say,
keep the peace.
You're out of control.
Yeah.
You know, and then if we as the council don't like that, then we can override her by a vote. Okay?
That's all I had.
Okay, thank you. I also want to comment because I owe a huge thank you to Brenda because this was, and to the council. I mean, we sat through many iterations of red lines and trying to make it look like it should look, and it was just, it was monumental. Brenda and I sat down a couple of times and finally went through what we thought would be the last version of this. And personally, I think it's a good document. I think it's something where I had originally deleted some things because I've been on the council for 6 years and I know this stuff, but we have three new members who need to understand how it works. So I think we have a good document, and it's a living document. We can change it. All it takes is a vote of the council. So unless there's any other comments, oh, yes.
Council Member Stout.
I would just like to say that the process of revising these rules was, I thought, a laborious process, but it was really an awesome thing for us to do, especially as a new council member. to go word by word and dig through the nitty-gritty of the council rules and really make decisions about how we want to function and learn that we actually, I mean, we have boundaries. There are certain things that we need to live within, but digging through, and here we are at the 11th hour making a couple of more changes because we want this to be right and we want it to be good for the city and we want it to be good for the work of the council. So it was pretty tough to go through at home and in our work study sessions, but I think we have a really good document. We might find a few more things that we need to change as we go along, mm-hmm. but it was a great process and I think we have a good document.
So without any further comment, I move to adopt the amended Resolution 18-1242, amending the council rules of procedure as adopted by Resolution 18-1213.
I second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Do we have any department reports?
Nothing from Public Works.
Oh, come on.
No, he's already had his say.
I do from Ender. Since Andy's not here, they had an
Come up to the microphone. You have to be official.
Representing Ender, just to let you know that they did have an open house out at the development, and it was very successful, and there has been three homes that have been sold already.
Mm-hmm.
So just to give you a sense of where that's going.
It's going.
Going.
Thank you. So now it's time for the mayor's report. Next week is our work session, and I have scheduled Wind River Associates, which is Chris Hurst and Caitlin Lopez, to come in and talk about being lobbyists for us and putting money in the budget next year for trying to get some legislative funds that are different than grant funds, and talking about what our main projects would be, and if we have a lot of requirements for that kind of money, we want to make sure that it's big dollars, like for maybe the roundabout. So we're going to talk about that, and then I've been trying to get a hold of the Welcome Wagon people, haven't gotten a response yet, but I would like to talk about that too. Talk about how we want to move forward about welcoming the new people to our city. And so I'm sure you all have ideas about that. So I don't know if you have anything else that you want on the work session next week, but that's what I have scheduled for next week's work session.
Sounds good.
And then I wanted to remind everybody that about the powwow, 23rd powwow at Enumclaw High School tomorrow night at 7 p.m. I will not be available because I have to go to a funeral, but I just wanted to remind everybody because Jennifer's not here tonight. We attended the SCA dinner, South Sound Cities Association's dinner last night, and it was interesting. And then we had earlier this week a Southeast Area Legislative Transportation Commission meeting in Covington, and it's a coordination between Covington and Maple Valley and the Chambers and Black Diamond and the Chamber to put the transportation issues that we have out there and how it affects businesses versus just transportation and traffic. And they're going to do a presentation to Skateboard in 2 weeks, which is one of the boards that I am on. And I attended the Skateboard meeting last month, along with the Chamber meeting last month, where they had the We the People. And then also last month, I attended a, a meeting with New Life Church and Covington and Maple Valley about homelessness and how we wanted to move forward on what to do about the homelessness in the area. And I attended the open house for Connor Holmes too, and we got a and then we attended the processional today for
Hunter's funeral to go to the New Life Church in Renton. So, oh, and we attended the grand opening for the ribbon cutting for Algona City Hall and their new community center in Algona. So, Councilmember Oglesby?
Not much to report, but I did step in for Danny here for the Public Works meeting last month when you were on vacation, right? Okay. That was kind of fun. I went on a tour with Seth and his crazy driving with May and Miss Stout of Vista Springs, which was really exciting. I think I laughed a lot. It was a great time. Thanks for the entertainment. We did that on the 29th. That was really fun. It's amazing to realize how many natural springs are in Black Diamond. It's beautiful, just absolutely beautiful. I was able to attend the Gomer Evans announcement of the new road here that we're going to have.
I got it.
So now we have a new road here in Black Diamond. It's named Gomer Evans Jr. Drive, in honor of a past mayor here in Black Diamond, an amazing volunteer person, just like a lot of the teamsters here, wears many, many different hats in our community and just pours his heart out. So really nice to see that little jolly old face, see his name be on a street sign around here. He might talk a lot about it. And then, yes, we do have our second Franklin tour this weekend coming up. If you guys are interested in going to that, that's this Saturday at the museum. So if you haven't seen Old Town Franklin or know the history about Franklin and how it is, please join. Don Mason does an amazing job in that tour there. And my husband and I will be there to help you guys guide through the mushy roads and the rains and stuff to get you guys parked safely. So that's my 2 cents.
Four-wheel drive is recommended,
yes, and carpooling.
Councilmember Edelman?
I actually took a vacation and found the sun and married off a granddaughter. But on the 3rd, I also attended the CLTC transportation meeting with the mayor. And this is really great because the Black Diamond Maple Valley Chamber of Commerce and the Covington Chamber of Commerce are really taking the lead on helping put out there how the transportation lacking transportation issues here is affecting businesses. It's not just the cities themselves and our citizens. And then last night was the Sound Cities Association dinner. The guest was the new CEO of the Seattle, I guess it was called the Greater Seattle Chamber of Commerce, but yeah, the east side have all got their own too. She's the past mayor of Tacoma. I thought it was really refreshing to hear her talk about impacts, actually, and this is her job, to the businesses and how repressive some of the decisions that have been made are affecting businesses and how they need to make some changes. I also attended the Algona New City Hall and Community Center ribbon cutting today. They have a brand new 10,000 square foot building, state-of-the-art technology. But we got pretty nice digs here. I mean, in comparison, yeah, not everybody has a little computer at their table, but this is pretty nice. Then I want to talk to the council tonight, too, about the time has now come that we need to move to a 7-member council. We, as the council, can vote that in by resolution, and I would like us to get some consensus to direct the city attorney. In fact, I gave you a draft a long time ago. But my thought, and you guys can chime in, we're now in the next few months going to start working into our budget cycle. And I think it would be in our best interest as a city council to have two new members approved and sitting on the council when we go into the budget cycle, so that they can be up to speed and go through the work studies with us instead of doing it later in the year, and then they're going to, it's hard enough, as you three all know, of getting up to speed. If we can, and budgets are confusing, and I think that would just be in our best interest. The faster we can do it, we don't have to be in a big hurry. Go ahead and approve a resolution, like at the next meeting, that then would authorize the mayor and the city clerk to advertise, we can do our due diligence and give them a month to respond to get some good candidates to apply, and then we can make our decisions, do our interviews, and go through the process like we did with you, Chris. Similar process, but we don't have to do it in a very short period of time. We can take a month or two if we want to.
I like the idea of the karaoke song. Can we have that? A talent part, right?
I don't know. I went through one of those sessions, and that singing was not part of the requirement.
Exactly.
But anyway, I would like some feedback. Do you all agree that we need to move forward now?
Absolutely. Yep. Mostly coming forward with the new housing and people and growing with our residents. I think our residents would definitely benefit from a city council.
Yeah. So then if the city attorney would go ahead and draft that up for the next meeting. Also, then we need the other ordinance to update to make it consistent now with the city council rules.
Yes.
Okay. And then last but not least, I want to give a shout out to the police department and the fire department, because 2 weeks ago tonight, as I was in Phoenix, my smoke alarm went off, and it was a false alarm, but the fire department rolled. My next door neighbor was on the phone with me, so I gave her all the information to get into my house. And then it went off about every 15 minutes to an hour all night long. So, again, at 2:30, I get a call from the neighbor, and the police are at my house, and she thought somebody was breaking into my house because they were doing a perimeter check, which I really appreciate. So we called the mayor's husband and said, would you mind going over and just clip the wires? It was a faulty smoke detector. We don't know why. It just happened, but it was going off all night. So I just appreciate my neighbors on both sides of me and our fire department and police department. They were very professional, and it's really difficult when you're 1,100 miles away to deal with stuff like that. So thank you.
Councilmember Stout.
Thank you. I attended two great meetings with the staff on the 22nd, the Public Works Committee meeting and the Finance Department meeting. And I think I probably say this every single time, and you're bored with me, but every meeting is amazing, and our staff is fabulous. Mm-hmm. They have all the answers to every one of my questions. They have done background work. They have put together every little bit and every little piece for every project that they're talking about, and I'm just very impressed with the work that they do. And I love those meetings. They do a great job. I also attended the Springs trip where we went out into the hinterlands to see where our water comes from. The brakes on the vehicle that we were driving actually do work in spite of the fact that going down a very steep hill, there was an alarm by the driver as if the brakes didn't work. So,
now you get my laughing. I mean, I was hysterical.
I'm not sure Mr. Botcher knew that I'm a super nervous passenger, but he found out, and I think his shoulder kind of hurt a little bit after that.
Were you hugging it or pinching it?
It was just a light tap. Anyway, we have an abundance of fabulous, beautiful, clear water that just bubbles out of the earth, and we capture it in pipes, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done to care for it and make sure that we have good water. But it's actually a fascinating process to see. And, you know, when you're talking about water, they have to mow miles of the verges of bumpy roads to make sure that they have access to the power lines and the trees that could fall across those power lines that would interrupt the power that supplies the pumps. You know, it's amazing what goes into providing us with water. So that was a really, really great trip. And it was beautiful, and it smelled great, woodsy, and delicious out there. And we didn't eat any of those mushrooms.
Now you know why I regret everything.
I attended the model home tour for the first house up and built and carpeted, and technically, you know, a person could live there if they wanted to. That was a great experience. I attended the Sound Cities Association dinner last night with Marilyn Strickland. Part of what is great for us about going to those events is that we run into people who do the same things that we do in many different cities. Their motto is 38 cities, 1 million people, one voice. And we, for myself, I get pumped up like, yes, we can do this. We can be a city. These guys are doing it. We're doing it. I sat next to Peter Steinbrook, who's the Port of Seattle commissioner and has a long history in Seattle. And the mayor said, he was kind of talking all the way through the presentation, wasn't he? Yeah. He was a little bit chatty. But we do get to see what's going on in the region, and it's really meaningful to us. It kind of helps me see a greater perspective. You know, we've got Black Diamond right here. We've got our water bubbling out of the ground, and they've got their situations going on wherever they are. So it was a great event, great dinner. And once again, I just wanted to shout out for the powwow tomorrow and hope that if you're available, you can go to that, because I think that's going to be a great event.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Well, I've been here a month, and I've read a lot. I apologize to all the city staff that I haven't had a chance to meet with you yet. I'm working on it. I did get a chance to go to the fire ad hoc meeting. I think it was the 21st.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
Right? We talked about placement of a new firehouse. We talked about need for equipment. We talked about the whole districting dilemma and how we plan to do that and stuff. It's a really good conversation. I got a tour of the firehouse, which is great for me being an ex-firefighter. And I looked at the guys that, and I was like, I used to be that young too. And yeah. So, that's about all I've had time to do. So, I do, hoping maybe I get to go to the Franklin thing this weekend.
Kids.
So, well, Hollis is going to go to her grandparents tomorrow, so we might be just Ansel and Hannah and I. So,
do it.
Throw the baby in the backpack and go.
Yeah.
The powwow tomorrow night in Enumclaw. Looks like it'd be a lot of fun, too. Mm-hmm. So, I'm really trying to schedule meetings. The last 3 weeks at work have been nuts. I've spent two of the last 3 weeks in vendor meetings all week. So, we're done. So, I'm looking forward to meeting everybody.
Do we have an attorney's report?
Seth and Scott are keeping us busy.
So, it's now time for the second public comments. Please come up to the podium and state your name and city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to address council? Jackie. She's been awful
quiet. Yeah. Jackie Bus, Black Diamond. I just want to say that the city has worked their tooties off, and I appreciate them, and I just want to say, if you can find money to pay for the lawsuits, please find money for them. That's it. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. We have a closed session tonight, but I recommend that we adjourn, and there's no action to follow after the closed session.
I move that we adjourn the meeting.
Okay.
I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Meeting adjourned.